This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money Week 5 concludes tonight in Las Vegas. It's going to be a Packers house as we welcome you back. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. And we've been kind of waiting to report the news. And look, the best player on the Packers is Aaron Jones, and it looks like he's officially been ruled out tonight. I think he's a point and a half to the number. That's why you've got Vegas right now, 2.5 Amal Shaw, but Aaron Jones, the great running back there with the Packers, has been ruled out tonight. Remember, injuries were a huge concern that Monday night against the Detroit Lions. The injuries continue, or was it Thursday night? I correct myself. Against the Detroit Lions, Green Bay's been banged up in the secondary. Jaire Alexander is active, but we can report here on Sharp Money, Aaron Jones is going to be absent tonight for the Packers, and you could argue that's their best football player regardless side of the ball, so that's a huge miss for the Packers.
You're absolutely right. It's big, and I think it's impacted this team throughout, and especially a young quarterback like Jordan Love. You need a running back who's got a career average of better than 5 yards per carry. Aaron Jones has been outstanding. I got to tell you, you and Dustin were on him way before me. We talked about a few weeks ago, I think it might have been early in the season, and I just never realized that Aaron Jones had statistically put up those types of numbers. This is a big blow to a team whose offense has been inconsistent.
Massive big guy. Jones out right now. Vegas 2.5. You got a total of 45.5.
Yeah, but look, that's why they have a guy like A.J. Dillon there. I know he's not Jones, but he's a very serviceable number two, and he's going to get more carries tonight. And it doesn't really matter when you're going up against the Raiders defense that can't stop anyone. I mean, they're bad. They're almost as bad as it gets. They're not the worst defense in the league, but they're in the conversation.
That defense can't stop a nosebleed.
I'm not saying A.J. Dillon is bad, but he's never been in the same room as Trent Richardson, okay? There's no difference between Trent Richardson and A.J. Dillon, okay? Stop it. He's a good backup. No, he's not. Anyway,
well, Aaron Jones. I'm betting his props now to prove you wrong tonight. That's my
okay,
goal.
Okay, go for it.
Wait, hold on a second. No. Let's address this real quick. You don't have to bet it. You can just look at the number and point to it and say, listen, Patrick, he got over the total. This is why he's a better guy. You don't have to go bet it to try and prove him wrong. And then because if you're wrong, now you lose the bet and you lose your pride.
Can you repurpose this argument for me and record it, but instead of betting, replace it with ordering Uber Eats?
Well, first here's the problem. A.J. Dillon's going to look good tonight. He's taking on Bishop Gorman's defense.
That's okay? What I'm saying. Dude, well, he's going to run wild.
I don't know, man. The Gorman might have a better defense than the Raiders.
It's time now, boys. Willie Ramirez, by the way, Associated Press covers the Raiders beat, will join us coming up on the show. But it's Monday. It's time for Like, Love, Loathe.
Recapping the weekend of action with what we liked.
All right.
What we loved.
I had an awesome time.
Like, I know that you had an awesome time, okay? I think the entire town knows that you had an awesome time.
And what we loathe.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
This is Like, Love, and Loathe on Sharp Money.
Sharp Money. Like, Love, Loathe. It's pretty simple. What'd you like, what'd you love, and what'd you loathe from the weekend? And I'll get us started. And I'm going to start with a little division called the NFC South. As I take a peek, right now you've got co-betting favorites in the South. The Saints, who pummeled the Patriots. The Falcons, who beat up on C.J. Stroud and the Texans. We'll get to that in just a bit at plus 175. The Buccaneers are 2-1, and the Panthers are 60-1. My like this week, boys, I promise you I'm not trolling, but it is Desmond Ridder. How about a team that's 3-2? And if you take a look at the Atlanta Falcons and their schedule, they literally could win out. It's the weakest schedule you've ever seen. We'll get to that in just a bit. But Desmond Ridder, who we talked about last week, potentially getting benched in favor of Taylor Heineke, just went out and had the best game of his career. He doesn't lose at home. He didn't lose at home in Cincinnati. He didn't lose at home now as an Atlanta Falcon. Big, sustained drives when it mattered. Some clutch throws. The numbers were tremendous. 28 of 37 for the much maligned Desmond Ridder. 329 through the air, a touchdown. He also ran for a touchdown. Pitts all of a sudden is in the mix. 7 catches, 87 yards. Drake London is happy. 6 for 78. 11 different receivers caught passes from Desmond Ridder. He was spreading the ball out over here like he's Steve Young. My goodness, what a performance from a guy that absolutely gets embarrassed and humiliated on this program. Desmond Ridder was not good. He was tremendous. And when it mattered the most, the game-winning drive where he drove the Atlanta Falcons down and your boy, Mr. Wu, kicks the field goal, the winner there. I thought Ridder wasn't good. I thought he was great in the performance. 21-19, the winner. Good job by you, Amal Shaw, with the cover, with the Texans at 2 and a hook. But my like of the week is Desmond Ridder.
Can't object to this on any level. It was an outstanding performance. First 300-yard game of his career. He was tremendous, and I thought he was the difference. And Patrick, I'll tell you what, Stroud struggled all game, and then when it mattered most, he takes his team right down the field, gets a touchdown, and Houston's defense needed to eliminate an opportunity for a field goal for the Falcons. They couldn't do it. Ridder gets them in a proper position, and they win this game. Give Arthur Smith and his team a ton of credit the way they operated down the stretch, managed the clock to set up the game-winning field goal. I like this call a lot. Now, here's the thing. Can we get back-to-back weeks? And I looked at that Atlanta schedule that Patrick referenced. Guys, it is an absolute train wreck. This is a team that's sitting right now.
They could win out.
There's no question they could. I just don't see Ridder playing consistently well, but does this build his confidence? We'll have to see. They've got the Commanders coming up. That'll be a more interesting defensive front. Let's see how he performs now in this situation against Washington at home.
Obviously, I'm being dramatic and saying the Falcons are going to win out. Yeah. Okay, but listen to their schedule. They've got the Commanders, the Buccaneers, the Titans, the Vikings, the Cardinals, the Saints, the Jets, the Bucks, the Panthers, the Colts, the Bears, and the Saints to close out the year. Like, that is about as soft a schedule you can find.
At worst, they're a 7-8 win team. At worst.
7-8 win team.
7-8?
This team could win 10 games.
They're a 10-win team.
They're not going to Tennessee and beating Tennessee.
Okay, they don't have to go to Tennessee and win. Okay, they're 3-2. They play, but look at the rest of the schedule.
They can't play in a shootout with Minnesota.
We're concerned about Tennessee and the Minnesota Vikings now?
They're not tougher than Arizona. They're not going to win on the road. They're not that kind of team.
Can they beat the Panthers and the Bears?
Yeah, I could beat the Panthers.
The Bears, the Buccaneers twice, the Jets?
They just beat arguably one of the tougher teams going to start the year in Houston. Houston's defense is legit. That game was, listen, the Falcons offense is dreadful. I'm not trolling. Ridder was very good. He's not my love. He's my like of the week. But that schedule is weak.
Well, okay?
We shall see.
I'll give Ridder credit in this. I thought the one thing that he did, a lot of times they schemed up these really short throws for him and they wouldn't be able to move the ball and push it downfield. I thought he let London, who is a really long receiver, go up and catch a lot of 50-50 balls. And at his size and his catching radius, London's a guy and go up and get it. And as long as you trust him to make those plays, things are going to work out. And I like that from Ridder. He put up a lot more numbers than he normally does. But again, I cashed an under on a Falcons game because Desmond Ritter's the quarterback. They're never going to put monster numbers. I know Houston was good coming in, but it's still a first-year head coach and a rookie quarterback on the road. Everything points to an advantage for Atlanta there. I think there are signs that this offense could be good because of their weapons, but I'm still not buying them to win that division.
I do have to agree with Dustin on one thing. Stroud at times yesterday looked like a rookie quarterback. He still performed well, didn't have any turnovers, and got the most important drive when they needed it. But they didn't capitalize on points off of turnovers. Started a drive on the plus side of the field, couldn't get points on that drive. Houston will get better as the season progresses. But I don't think it's unfair for Dustin to say that, hey, maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit just based on who their opponent was.
Ridder,
who do you guys want
is good?
Who do you guys want in division then? Who do you want in division?
Guys, I'm telling you, I'm still going with the Saints. Defensively, they're a good team. They've got Kamara back there. I mean, he's got guys in the perimeter. I don't know what Carr is doing back there. But, hey, you drafted Chris Olave in the first round. I don't know. Maybe use him.
I bet Tampa Bay plus 320. I'm going to stand by my Tampa Bay bet. I think the defense is awesome. Come off the bye, hopefully look a little bit better. Offense still has plenty of weapons. And honestly, I think Baker is the quarterback I trust the most in this division.
I'm going to tell you something. The bye hurts Tampa coming so early. I think they're going to wind up with some injuries at the point in time. You want to have That's guys fair. Being able to rest, whereas the Saints have a bye in week 11.
My like of the week. He's been crushed on this show as Desmond Ridder. Like, love, loathe, sharp money on a Monday. Amal Shah, your like is?
I'm going to go into the National Football League and a quarterback we talked about earlier today, Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers. I think this guy's done a tremendous job. I know we all point to the talent that's there, but Brock doesn't make any mistakes. 17 for 24 last night, does a tremendous job, 4 touchdown passes. He seems to find the guy that's always wide open. Now, you talked about it earlier, Patrick. Kyle Shanahan does a great job of scheming, and I'm not going to sit here and say there aren't 12, maybe 14 quarterbacks that could play for the Niners, and they'd be 5-0 and putting up the same numbers and points. I would agree with that. But to me, you got to give Brock Purdy credit. This guy has just quietly gone about his business, done a great job on a team filled with superstars, and the goal for the 49ers should be about a 15-2 regular season and a Super Bowl victory. Anything else less than that is a failure.
What's fascinating about Brock Purdy is he has officially entered the MVP conversation. Who is he tied with in the market? Oh, only Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen at 7-1. Incredible. Patrick Mahomes over at DraftKings 4.5-1. Tua is plus 475. Jalen, Brock, and Josh Allen all 7-1.
I would put him ahead of that turnover machine, Josh Allen.
Okay, Brock Purdy, you the like? Do you have a take on that one, big guy?
Yeah, I'm really regretting before week two. I said on this show, I think you were out, Patrick. I said, 50-1 for Brock Purdy. I think you got to bet it now because it's going to go away. I did not, in fact, bet it, and now I'm really regretting it because he is 100% in the mix.
Okay. There it is, a nice little start. Desmond Ridder and Brock Purdy, the likes. When we return, all right, all right, all right. That's your tease for Dustin's like. And it's a big day here on Sharp Money. Who Day? 40-1 Super Bowl winners. You can write it down right now, the Cincinnati Bengals. We're back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the 2023 NBA betting guide is out. You see Dame Lillard on the cover in a Bucks jersey, which is crazy to see, but it's awesome. Up to the date, previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting. This is huge. NBA betting model from our very own senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSIN NBA betting guide over at VSIN.com/subscribe. So we joked to open the show, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. We joked to open the show that it's going to be a Packers house tonight, Monday Night Football, Allegiant Stadium there. As right now, the Raiders are laying 2.5. No Aaron Jones for the Packers. But boys, Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, Fremont Street, Bar Canada. Look, I'm in Los Angeles, but I can hear everything that happens where you guys are. And on a Monday, it's typically not that loud with people absolutely going nuts. I can almost guarantee you those are Packers fans that traveled to town that are already getting lit. That's another angle when talking about it's going to be predominantly Packers fans. But also remember, Packers fans and fans that travel to Vegas, they go out before they go to the game. So it's even more of a raucous crowd.
Let me try something real quick. Go Pack, go! All right, not quite the response I was looking for.
You heard the echo. Well, I see a Packers jersey right in front of us there as we just pulled back on the camera. It's going to be, what'd you guys say? I'll say 70-30. No, 60-40. 70-30, somewhere in there. What'd you say, Amal?
I said 70% will be Packer fans, and I think it'll be pretty clear. Raiders aren't playing particularly well, and the Knights are about to start their season defending Stanley Cup champions. I think it's going to be all Packer fans here.
I still don't buy that there are Raider fans here.
I don't disagree with that.
There's a pocket of Raider fans. I think you two have been to Allegiant by now.
Nope,
I have not.
You have not?
Nope.
Okay. It is gorgeous. It's easy to get in and out of. It's very modern. It's a great place to go watch a game. So I'll just say that. But, California, specifically LA, that's Raiders town. And yeah. Vegas is very much, obviously a Laker town, and there are a bunch of really good Raiders fans there, but it just takes a little time. It's much different than the idea of something like the Vegas Golden Knights, who were born there, and also the timing of the Vegas Golden Knights and their inception. So it's much different, but there will be a huge Packer crowd in Vegas tonight. Okay. Like, love, loathe, we got it started. Mine was Desmond Ridder for like. Brock Purdy was Amal Shaw's like. And Big Guy, you're up. Who's your like this week?
Mine's going to be a little bit weird because it's not really a headliner, but we talked about it earlier with the AFC South. Amal doesn't think the Jaguars are necessarily a lock to win that division. And I think this team is going to have a say in that division. And it's a lot of it's because of this guy so far to start the year. That's Gardner Minshew. Comes in relief of Anthony Richardson, 11 of 14, 155 yards against the Tennessee Titans, division game at home. They walk away with a win. Gardner Minshew is a guy who is going to make money for a long time in this league as a backup quarterback on good teams going forward. I think he's proven now a couple times when he's asked to step in, he can make some things happen. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for coming in the middle of that game and Indy walking away with a victory. It's a big win for them to dethrone Tennessee, which has ran that division for the last few years. So I want to give him some props, and it's Gardner Minshew, to me, the best backup in all of the NFL.
Minshew's quote when asked about it was, quote, "It was lit. It is what it is." So he's fired up. Zach Moss had a huge game with Jonathan Taylor being activated as well. Didn't get many touches. I don't think you're wrong. I also think there's a side story here, boys, about Minshew, and that is, can we have an honest conversation about Anthony Richardson? I mean, the kid has been hurt in every single game he's played in.
It kind of reminds you a little bit of RG3, right? Great talent, but he runs the ball a lot. You're going to take hits. I mean, you know, I don't think, Patrick, you know, you played college football. People don't realize when you go from the collegiate level to the NFL level, where it's just a difference in speed, size, and just ability of the players.
Minshew, 11 of 14, Big Guy, 155, no touchdowns or picks, but the Richardson conversation eventually is going to have to happen here.
No,
he's constantly getting injured.
It's an issue. Shane Steichen was asked if they need to change anything after Richardson got hurt again.
You know, when you have a dynamic player like him, and obviously one of his skill set is a runner, that what makes him really good. You know, the design run that he got hurt on, we ran something similar to that last week where he popped it for a big one. And then obviously this week he got the shoulder on that play. So that's stuff that, you know, you got to look at and be smart with. And it's part of the game. And, you know, you don't want it to happen for sure.
So you brought up a good question. Minshew, is he the best backup right now in football? I'm trying to think of...
How about this? If Gardner Minshew was the 49ers quarterback, where would they be?
It wouldn't be where they are.
Would they still be the one seed? Would they still be the best team in that division?
Yeah. Listen, everybody, if you just take a look at the game last night, and again, if you want to call the Cowboys a top five defense, go ahead. It didn't look like it last night, but Purdy was throwing to wide open guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
they are schemed up completely wide open. Now, to get back to your point about Gardner Minshew being the best backup, immediately the name that came to mind, if you guys would like to push back as far as the backups, Jacoby Brissett was the name that came to mind. Dobbs?
Brissett was the guy I was thinking about. By the way, real quick, Minshew was 0-2 last year with the Eagles as a starter.
Yeah, I know. No, I know.
Look, I probably go towards Brissett. He kind of does what the coaches need. He's effective. I think Minshew's got a little bit too much cowboy in him at times in terms of the way he tries to play.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, he cannot lose you games. I don't know if he can win you games. And I think Minshew might lose you some games, but I like that cavalier attitude that he's going to go out there and take some shots every now and then.
All right, there it is.
Shane Steichen was asked yesterday after the game, the question I asked, is Minshew the best backup in the league? Here's what he said.
Yeah, to me he is. And I've been around him, and obviously I'm biased, but I've been around him, and I've been around the other guys, but the way he's playing when he comes in, he makes plays for sure. I think he's an elite processor of the game. And when you got a guy that can process the game quickly and make quick decisions, and he's really good, he's accurate, he knows where to go with the football at the right time and the right place, and he's been awesome for us.
The Jags right now, $5 favorites. The Titans plus 390. The Colts right behind them at 4-1. And the Houston Texans, 4.25, plus 425 in the AFC South right now.
I don't know. I'm not convinced Jacksonville's winning this division. Taylor's back in the mix. The Colts are playing well. They're competitive, guys.
Okay, like, love, loathe, here's Sharp Money. I'm up next, and here comes my love. It is apropos, a little synergy, and I didn't even plan on it, okay? This is a team that needed to get right. This was, again, a team that was 1-3 headed to the desert yesterday. It was a quarterback who everybody loves, but last week against the Titans, he threw for 165 yards. This was a wide receiver that was crying, talking about, I'm always effing open. Get me the ball. My love this week just beat the Cardinals 34-20. Okay. My love this week is a 40-1 shot here on Sharp Money to win a Super Bowl. It's not just the Cincinnati Bengals. My love is Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase exploded. 15 receptions, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns. The squeaky wide receiver gets the ball because he was bitching after the Titans game. And guess what? They course corrected. This is a team that had no Higgins. Joe Burrow looked like Joe Burrow again. 36 of 46, 317, 3 touchdowns. He had the pick. He's still got the injured calf, but he's playing through it. This is a dude that you totally trust in a big spot. Again, the Bengals are 2-3, exactly where they were last year. Couldn't fall to 1-4, and they didn't. They went to the desert against a Cardinal team that's been pushing teams. We mentioned the Cowboys earlier today. Yes, the schedule's brutal, and yes, the defense needs to play better. But my love is a reason why 40-1 Bengals Super Bowl is juicy, because there's two guys. Again, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, that, and those two are my loves of the week.
I like that a lot. I was considering taking the Bengals on that call as well, and you mentioned it. Ja'Marr Chase, when you look at his numbers to start the season, guys, didn't put up a ton of numbers, and he was not wrong in his statement. You give me the ball, I'm open. I mean, 19 targets, makes those 15 catches. What a day, almost 200 yards receiving. But more importantly, I thought it just put a little infusion of energy into this Bengals offense that should potentially help propel them going forward.
Ja'Marr Chase, the fifth player in NFL history with 15 receptions in a game. The others, Tyler Lockett, Jimmy Smith, Jerry Rice, Steve Largent. That Bengals defense will look a lot better when that offense stays in the field more like it's been doing.
What was less surprising than Jerry Rice being a part of that package last night heading into Sunday Night Football? If you asked Jerry Rice to clean up the set of Sharp Money after the show, he'd do it. We continue.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to use vsin.com and check out the current betting splits data if you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, every sport. The betting splits page is up with DraftKings odds updated every 5 minutes so you can see all the changes in action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but of course, future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSIN is here to make you a smarter, better year round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Sharp Money, as we welcome you back, we close out week 5. Sounds like a Packers fan there at the D. Just hit black and roulette or red, one of the two. We just know they're going nuts because it is going to be a Packers crowd in Monday Night Football, Allegiant Stadium. Right there off the strip in Las Vegas. 2.5 is the number with the Raiders laying it. 45.5 on the total. No Aaron Jones. That is huge. He has been officially ruled out for the Green Bay Packers, the running back, of course. So number 2.5, 45.5.
Yeah, Patrick. We'll
have plenty more. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I thought you made a great point earlier about Aaron Jones and the value he has to the total. I mean, on the number on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd probably be sitting Raiders a point closer to a pick'em. I think he is legitimately, based on how LaFleur likes to run that offense with a young, obviously you want to come off the run with a young quarterback. I think he's a point and a half, 2 points. What was it? Two and a half for Chubb the other week?
Yeah.
But and remember, no Bakhtiari out for the year, so that hurts too. That's kind of
he hasn't played since like 21.
Yeah, he played. Didn't he play to begin the year like a game or two, and then he got hurt again?
Jair Alexander is active for the Packers this evening. Whether or not he plays, I don't know, but he is active. We can keep you updated as far as the injuries are concerned. Okay, like, love, loathe on a Monday here, Football Monday, Sharp Money. Our likes so far, we had some fun with them. Desmond Ridder, Brock Purdy, and Gardner Minshew. So a sweep of quarterbacks. We're just getting into the loves. My love was Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So kind of an umbrella there with the Bengals, who we bet earlier at 40 to 1 to win a Super Bowl. It's now time, Amal Shaw, for your love of the week.
I'm going Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, you know, this guy took over 2 years ago, I mean, in terms of not having Ben Roethlisberger anymore. Remember, he inherited Roethlisberger from Bill Cowher and company. All he continues to do is win football games. You look at the AFC North right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-2 in front of that division. The victory over the Ravens yesterday, Ravens did everything they could, and they ended up giving the game away to Pittsburgh. They win the game. Mike Tomlin's career record right now sits at 166-95-2. But here's the thing, guys, and we all talk about how great Bill Belichick is. Mike Tomlin, without Ben Roethlisberger, is 30-25-1 as a head coach in the National Football League, and with games in which Ben Roethlisberger did not participate for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just continues to succeed. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Well, could this be the first losing season for the Steelers under Tomlin ever? Maybe. But right now, the way it looks, this team just finds ways. And we talked about Ja'Marr Chase getting targets. Hey, somebody get George Pickens 14 targets a game.
Mike Tomlin started coaching. He's 51 years old. Think about this. He's 51. He started coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2007. That year, he won 10 games. The next year, 12 in a Super Bowl. It's incredible what he's done. Again, he started coaching in 2007, the Steelers. He's just 51 years old. He's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. It's not even a question. He potentially could have, if you think about it, he could have 20 more years to go.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, 71 years old. Mike Tomlin's 51. Go ahead, big guy.
Well, and Tomlin's so good, he's the reason they can't find another franchise quarterback. Because no matter how bad the roster is, he finds a way to win with these guys. He's great at player development. He's great at getting the most out of guys. And if a player can't play their best for Mike Tomlin, they're probably either one over the hill or they just don't have what it takes, i.e. Chase Claypool. All these guys go to Pittsburgh and they ball out and they play for a guy who's, I would say, the best leader in the NFL. Forget X's and O's, forget football. I just trust that guy's going to tell me like it is. He's going to give me the bad news. He's going to give me the good news. And he's going to find a way to fix whatever's wrong with me. I trust Mike Tomlin. And the fact that they won that game the way they did, they made it so ugly. When Baltimore has so many more flashy pieces than Pittsburgh has, to walk away with the win the way they did is super impressive performance by him and by that offense at the end.
Guys, one other thing I want to add to it, I'm going to tell you, I think Jalen Warren's going to be the starting tailback in Pittsburgh moving forward. Najee Harris last night or yesterday goes 14 for 37, Warren 9 carries for 40 yards, but it wasn't just the production in terms of that. He gets 39 yards receiving the football. He runs with toughness. He hits holes that are not there. Najee's waiting for holes like it's still Tuscaloosa where they just part half the field. That's not happening at this level, guy. And I'll tell you, they need Warren in there. He brings a toughness and a tenacity that this team has been lacking at running back.
Old Glacier Harris. If the Titanic was coming near Najee, they would have had plenty of time to dodge it. Trust me. He just went right around Najee because he is a glacier. I agree. Warren's a stud. And back to your point, big guy, about Mike Tomlin, he covers up for a lot of warts, right? Thought maybe he was going to move on from Matt Canada. He stuck with his boy. Wasn't exactly an explosive offensive performance from the Steelers yesterday, but they do what they do under Tomlin and they get a win.
Yeah, and they create wide receivers too. I know Mike Tomlin's a defensive guy, but like, think about how many guys have blown up offensively as receivers for them and then we've never heard from them anywhere else again.
That's a very good point. Juju Smith-Schuster, Hines Ward's going to wind up in Canton.
Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace.
Brown.
Mike Wallace has been on the back of a milk carton since he left Pittsburgh.
Emmanuel Sanders, like he finds
it's good.
And George Pickens is a dude now, and that guy would have been a first rounder had he not gotten hurt. But a lot of other teams didn't take the chance Pittsburgh did, and he balled out yesterday.
When all sincerity, like, who would you take in a race, Najee Harris or a pylon?
Oh, I think I could take Najee could give me a one step head start. I think I got him.
A folding chair wouldn't stand a chance. Okay, let's continue. So that is a love. Tomlin, not just another cover, but an outright winner as a dog. Closed 4.5-point dogs there at home against the Ravens in division, and a 17-10 winner. Next up for the love, Dustin Swedelson.
It's a victory Monday for a great section of this country that is not front runners, because the Dallas Cowboys got their doors blown off on Sunday Night Football, and I just can't stand Cowboy fans, mainly because most of them have no ties to Dallas. They've never been to the state of Texas, and they're only Cowboys fans because their parents either weren't involved in their lives or did a bad job raising them. Because if you're not from Texas, you're not from Dallas, your family has no ties to the area, you should not be a Dallas Cowboys fan. You are a weak front-running loser, and that's why your franchise hasn't won since the 90s. Also, speaking of losers, this was Dak Prescott reacting to the loss last night.
Didn't see it coming. As you said, put everything into this and got punched in the mouth. Called a couple of weeks ago, humbling against Arizona. But this may be the most humbling game I've ever been a part of. Felt good about the preparation. Felt good about everything, honestly, coming into this game, matchups, and they beat us in every aspect.
From one loser to another, let's hear from Mike McCarthy, the biggest loser of them all.
I think it's a punch in the gut, it's a kick in the ass, whatever phrase you want to put on it. But, you know, I think it's clearly, but you look at how the season's gone. You know, we've been knocked down. I mean, clearly, they beat us in all three phases. So, and, you know, I think we will clearly acknowledge it. And I'm not a burn to take guy. I think that's a crock. We're not going to do that. We're going to go through it, make sure we're clear on exactly, you know, what the expectations are, make sure we're giving our players what they need to be successful. So they played extremely well, and we did not.
This team beat the Giants, who stink. They beat the Jets without Aaron Rodgers. They lost at Arizona to Josh Dobbs, and they beat New England, which looks like they're beating the team that's going to draft Caleb Williams next year. They are frauds. They are not good, and I loved every second of them losing on primetime.
They got embarrassed. They got out-coached. They got outplayed. Again, Jerry Jones, I mentioned at the onset of the show, discussed last night being a measuring stick for the franchise and for this year's iteration of the Cowboys. Well, the 49ers whipped them with that measuring stick. Again, Mike McCarthy, he punches down, boys. He beats teams that are inferior. But anytime that he is matched up against an electric team and somebody that's on the same level or comparable, the Cowboys lose. That's just what he does. And I know that we want to blame Dak, and Dak obviously catches a lot of flack because he's not the best quarterback in football. But like I said earlier, go ahead and give Dak to Shanahan. Dak would be just fine. A lot of this falls on McCarthy.
I think it's an excellent point. And this Dallas team, to me, just looked ill-prepared. If you took the star off the side of that helmet yesterday watching him, you would have thought they were a bottom 10 team in the National Football League.
Also, is CD Lamb not? He ain't fast enough to be a wide receiver one. Like, something needs to, like, that. This is a little overrated at the position, the Cowboys. No,
I think they're also a little too more focused on the flash and the guys outside, and they got away from what they did best, which was win with a pass rush and win with an offensive line.
Hard to run the football when you're down double digits the whole entire football game. McCarthy seems like the type of guy that still rents movies from Blockbuster.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We got you back here. Sharp Money. Week 5 concludes tonight in Vegas. As you hear the Packers fans in the background, they're at the D. Amal Shaw, Dustin Swedelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, you've got Vegas hosting the Packers tonight. And right now that number still 2.5, 45.5 on the total. No Aaron Jones, the all-pro running back for the Packers. So something to note. We are on to the loathes. Like, love, loathe, as is customary here on a Monday edition of Sharp Money. And my loathe is, frankly, my loathe is a guy that gave up on his football team. He gave up on his city last night, yesterday. He's 71 years old, and he was handed his worst loss of his career, 38-3 at the Cowboys last week. He then said, hold my beer, and came home and had his second worst loss of his career, 34-0 yesterday against the Saints. Of course, my loathe this week officially gave up on his football team and gave up on his city. My loathe this week, his team had 156 total yards on offense. They turned the ball over three times, and they had 8 first downs. My loathe this week was punting in Saints territory on the regular. His team is boring. His team is untalented. His team, like himself, is uninspired, and his team is 1-4. My loathe this week officially gave up on the Patriots, everyone in that locker room, and everybody that went to Gillette yesterday. And I'll tell you how. The Patriots had 4th-and-3 at the Saints' 40-yard line. Pay attention. They were down 24-0. So again, in 2023, with analytics, Bill Belichick, 71 years old, on a 4th-and-3 on the Saints' 40-yard line, down 24 points, punted the football. With that, he punted the season. After the game, this is what Bill Belichick had to say.
Plain and simply, we got to find a way to, you know, play and coach better than that. And so that's what we're going to do, start all over and get back on a better track than we're on right now. So, you know, slow start. And I just couldn't, you know, could never really get the game under control. Yeah, it certainly wasn't all him.
Boring, untalented, and uninspired. I can't imagine the locker room being inspired after hearing that. Bill Belichick said that they, the Patriots, need to start over. Yeah, without him. The dude's been there since 2000. In 2000, Y2K was a thing. NSYNC was a thing, and they're making a comeback. Bill Belichick says it's time to start over. How about bye, bye, bye?
Great job, Patrick. Great breakdown in there in terms of Bill Belichick.
NSYNC.
By the way, I love that you referenced that 4th-and-3 situation. I'm watching the game, and I'm going, how could this guy not go for it on 4th-and-3, down by 24 points in the third quarter? I mean, they run that punt team out there like they were ahead 24-0. I don't know if he saw the wrong thing on the scoreboard, was watching the wrong game. I have no idea, but I'm so happy you brought that up because it's a great example of the way this team has virtually punted on the season, as you referenced.
Yeah, Amal, seriously, 4th-and-3, Saints 40-yard line, down 24 points, and he punts. That is not only blasphemy, but it's almost insubordinate. Fellas, if we're really having a genuine conversation here, like, no matter if you're old school, new school, anti-analytics, pro-analytics, if you're down 24 at home on the opponent's 40-yard line and you're punting, there's a conversation about potentially either vacating the job or getting fired. Like, that's not, I'm not being hyperbolic here or dramatic.
There's 9 minutes and 48 seconds left in the third quarter. You got to take a shot. You're at the opponent's 40-yard line, as you alluded to. I mean, they've got to make a move in that spot. They don't do it. It was just shocking to me the way this team played, and it just seemed like they were completely disengaged. The other thing I found interesting was it just seemed like the effort and the decision-making were basically sending up the white flag. And then Bailey Zappe comes in. And I tell you, I know a lot of Patriots fans have been clamoring for him to get on the field. Well, if you saw some of the throws that Bailey Zappe made, trust me when I tell you there's a reason why Mac Jones is the starter.
Boring, untalented, and uninspired. You heard the clip, Dustin Sweetelson. But the untalented part, you have to hang on Belichick as well. He picked the groceries.
Yeah, well, One, he operates like a guy who thinks that he's going to be able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And the truth is, he has a boss to answer to. And at some point, he's going to have to start answering some of the questions about a lot of the decisions he makes. And I think it starts with what you just mentioned there, picking the groceries. The drafting has been horrific for a very, very long time.
Yep.
He is an anti-skills guy. He likes to draft guys that we haven't heard of so he can okey-doke on all the analysts. Like, everything with him is ego-based. He wants to prove that he can do more with less since losing Tom Brady. How about this? Go out and get the best players to compete at the highest level and try and get yourself another ring to save your legacy, Bill.
By the way, guys, their longest drive of the game yesterday, 49 yards.
It's almost insubordinate. It's petulant. When you're punting down 24, you're almost doing something out of straight petulance. And to your point about the drive, look, we're overlooking that last year, he legitimately hired a defensive coordinator to run the offense.
That alone.
I'm not using that to kind of bring that back and kind of run over him again with that information. I'm saying that is, it comes down to ego, to both of your points. And using Patricia as a potential offensive play caller, again, that's insubordinate behavior. That's, I have FU equity and I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to do something so different that it's going to piss people off just because I can.
I just want to know if Bob Kraft has the guts to make the move, because, yes, they've won 6 Super Bowls with him there. But at some point in time, do you just sit there and say, you know what, it's time for a change. It's time for a new vibe in New England. Because I can tell you right now, guys, it is bad, bad, bad there in Foxborough.
Bad, bad, bad. Bye, bye, bye. Y2K.
Very happy, by the way.
What is going on?
I'm very happy you went NSYNC and not Backstreet Boys, because they were so much better.
They were, and they were the hottest thing in 2000, and now they're old men trying to make a comeback. My point is, Belichick in 2000 was hot in the streets as well. Now he's an old man attempting to make a comeback. It's not working. He's 71. So is my dad. Okay, let's get to our next loathe of the week. Amal Shaw, you're up.
Well, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. And this man did that exact same thing on Saturday night. His defense had given up 176 yards in 59 minutes and 32 and 28 seconds of play. But he said, "No, what, guys? I want you to go out there one more time and get me a stop." Instead of taking a knee, Mario Cristobal, who could have taken a knee against Stanford when he was the head coach at Oregon and lost a game in a similar fashion when they fumbled the ball and lost in overtime, said, "Haynes King, I know you can't throw the ball, but let's give you a shot with no timeouts and 32 seconds remaining to go down the field and rip our season out and just destroy every Hurricanes fan what the expectation for this year was." And Mario Cristobal had an opportunity to take a knee, failed to do so. And Patrick, that's why the Miami Hurricanes and Mario Cristobal made this list for me. They lose the game 23-20 against Georgia Tech in a spot where all they had to do with about a minute 18 was take 2 knees. And we're talking about Carolina and Miami in a similar fashion to the way we'll be talking about Oregon and Washington.
Here was Mario Cristobal answering questions about that after the game.
You know, when the drive started, it was going to be at 157, you know, and we could burn about 127 off, and then it was recalibrated. I should have taken a timeout right there at the end. Thought he could get the first down, and you know, we talked about 2 hands on the ball, but that's not good enough. Just should have told him to take a knee in. That's it. Fumbled the ball at 25, and they went 75 yards in 2 plays. So, no excuse.
Is he drunk? What the hell is he talking about?
Why is he explaining what happened and not simply apologizing? Like, is he being for real there?
He is. Here's 2 unfortunate truths as a Miami fan. He is unfit to be the head coach of a program with that much potential. But at the same time, based on how things have gone for Miami over the last 20 years, he's unfortunately the best they can do.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Miami should have fired him immediately after the game. And I'm not being hyperbolic here when I say that. Minnesota fired Glenn Mason when they blew, I think, a 35-3 lead in the Outback Bowl against, or not the Outback Bowl, but the game in Arizona against Texas Tech. Patrick, how does a team mentally recover after having an opportunity to be undefeated, looking at an ACC championship college football playoff, and you lose to a team that got worked by Bowling Green at home?
Unconscionable all the way around. Cristobal, a worthy load. The big guy's got a load to go next. Willie Ramirez, he's on the beat for the Raiders.